Welcome to Literature Out Loud, sponsored by Rune, the Robert Morris University Literary Journal, and RMU Radio. I'm John Lawson. My guest is Dina November, well-known Pittsburgh poet and creative writing teacher here at Robert Morris. Thanks for coming, Dina.
Thanks for having me.
Dina is accompanied today by her newborn son, Ari, so he'll be contributing in the background,
Already. Possibly
the foreground at times, to the conversation. Dina November has been a busy woman. She's co-edited an anthology called Nasty Women and Bad Hombres. The anthology features some great Pittsburgh writers and it includes poetry, creative nonfiction essays, short stories, and art related to the election of 2016. All proceeds from the sales of the anthology will be donated to the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, Pittsburgh Women's Shelter, and the Art House in Homewood. Full disclosure, one of my poems was selected for the anthology. As if that weren't enough, Dina has also come out with a collection of her own poetry called Mean Mama, published by Main Street Rag. I'd like to talk with you about both projects, Dina, but let's start with Mean Mama. I guess the first thing to mention is the cover. Would you describe what poetry lovers will see when they go to the Main Street Rag website or find your book in a bookstore?
Oh, that's my baby burping.
Yes.
So, yes, you'll see a little girl on the front cover walking down the steps at Phipps crying. She looks like the world might be ending, and her brother is behind her accompanying her. And basically the gift store is closed, so that's why she goes berserk, really. But, you know, for kids, these sort of things are very dramatic, and for parents they are as well. So I actually took the picture and tried to capture, well, actually I just took the picture because I think it's really kind of funny how dramatic these sort of experiences are for kids, gift store being closed or something not working out, and how they always look in their face like it's the end of the world. And I wanted that for my cover of these poems that kind of address the issues and the drama of parenting, especially motherhood, that haven't really been discussed in this light. They're usually very floral and lovely and enjoyable, which, of course, I do enjoy being a mother, but there is a lot that comes with it, and I think that's a lot of what people don't talk about. And I wanted to talk about that in my
book. It's a very dramatic cover. two young kids looking at you, the viewer, as if you're the mean mama.
Right.
Well, so would you read a poem from Mean Mama?
Yes, yeah. So I brought my baby with me, so he might make some noise, as we said. So this poem I wrote when my son, this is my third baby, but this was from when I had my second baby, and it was very traumatic, as all birthing stories usually are. Bursting out. You burst out, opening me up to the doctor at the foot of the small bed, ready to play catch with a quiet fish, wrapped tightly three times in our cord. You didn't make a sound. You didn't cry or scream. It was a fast back labor birth. The doctor orders me a double fentanyl shot, spraying and squirting blood, the trajectory, your father's yellow t-shirt, and love in your plunge into a cold triage room. You weren't supposed to come out this fast. Forehead, nose, and nape of neck bruised from your wild and rapid passage through the birthing canal. Then you were latched like a breastfed poster boy, the nurse said. Like you have always been here, doing this, and loving you has left me bloody, vulnerable, and high.
Thank you. That was my guest, Dina November, reading her poem, Bursting Out. Gosh, that's the first time I've heard that poem, and it reminds me of coming back to consciousness from surgery. I had an almost infantile perspective coming into life again from that experience.
Yeah, it's a trauma, really.
Yeah.
And you never forget it, too.
Yeah.
Even if you want to.
Let's start at the beginning. Take us back. Do you remember when you kind of had the feeling for the first time, hey, maybe I'm a poet?
I don't know. I guess I can't pinpoint like the moment like I was. But my family is very into poetry. My two older brothers are poets as well. They both teach creative writing, one in New Jersey and one in New York City. at Rutgers and Touro University. So poetry has been ingrained in my life, in my family forever. My parents always read poetry while we were trying to fall asleep or trying to put us to sleep. But we were always interested in it. And my father was a doctor, and I guess he always said, don't become a doctor, although that would have helped us financially probably. Instead, we all went into the humanities and English. My younger sister, I'm a sibling of four, she's a social worker. So we all went into things that wouldn't make us any money, but that we were passionate about. Baby distracted me. I think that poetry has always been ingrained in me. My grandmother wrote poetry, both sides, and they weren't great, but you know, it was definitely something that was seen as a great art form, a way of expressing yourself, and something that was very time-worthy and worth pursuing. Although when we told my parents, you know, all of my siblings, like, we're going into poetry, they're like, oh my God, what did we do? How did this happen? We're like, what do you mean? You've read poetry to us every night before bed. It's the last thing we heard, and then we dreamed about it. So,
yeah.
What did you expect? And I'm not ever upset about my decision. So it's something I'm passionate about. I've tried to have other jobs where I work in an office. I fall asleep on the keyboard. I'm not good at any other sort of thing. I like teaching, of course. That's the other thing I'm passionate about. And I think that, you know, pursuing that's been definitely worth it. And I hope to continue.
When I went off for my PhD, I was determined to come out with something I could do, you know, that would, if not make me rich, at least support me, as opposed to my creative writing bent.
Sorry, my baby's real grumpy.
Yeah, and no problem. And the first job I got out of PhD school was a job teaching creative writing, of course, irony. So where does your new book, Mean Mama, fit into your writing career? What have you done before?
Okay, so before I wrote a lot about, this is, I guess, goes with phases in my life, mainly when I'm writing. So I started out writing poems, you know, more about going out to bars and just relationships and things like that. And they were good, and I still am proud of them, but I think that I started to write more in a feminist sort of writing style, and I'm aware of it. I didn't make a conscious decision, like, I'm going to write as a feminist now. Let's change modes. It just sort of what was happening in my life, and it probably always was happening, but I wasn't as honest about it, or maybe I shied away from writing about things that were controversial, and now I kind of just kind of accept it, and I'm want to write about it because it's important to me.
Yeah. So a more overt move toward feminism.
Yes.
Let's get to that a bit more in a minute, but can we hear another poem from Mean Mama first?
This one's called, I Know Exactly Why Some Animals Eat Their Young. I wake up to hot projectile vomit all over my chest and a toddler ripping out fistfuls of my long, dry hair. Nights like this are combat training and sleep deprivation. You try jumping out of my arms as I carry you up the steep cement steps and into the red brick house that needs to be repointed. You try eating the broken blue glass from the shattered votive candle, eat dirt and small magnets while I am reading. You are playing on wooden steps, and then your small head is suddenly violently bumping down loudly, neck bent. How is that survival? You are so vulnerable in that hospital bed you barely occupy. I blame myself for every bruise, make deals with God that I will be a good Jew, but that is just a lie.
Wow. And that was Dina November reading her poem, I Know Exactly Why Some Animals Eat Their Young, from her new collection, Mean Mama, published by Main Street Rag. Speaking of politics, let's turn for a moment to the Nasty Women and Bad Hombres project that you co-edited. How did that project come about, and was it your first project of that kind?
First of all, it was not the first project of the kind. I've done two other anthologies And I don't know why. I don't choose to do anthologies, but they just seem to gravitate towards me, and I end up involved, and then I'm like, oh, look, now there's a whole tour coming by. So, sometimes I think that these projects come to me, and I don't really necessarily look for them, but they seem to happen. I did an anthology in undergraduate, actually, based on a class that we did sample, like, anthologies as an assignment in a creative writing class. And I did, my theme was all about poets that use depression and mental illness to fuel their writing. And then the professor really enjoyed it, and he said that I should bring it to a publisher. And I ended up going with Houghton Mifflin and getting that published.
Wow.
And working on it throughout my undergraduate career, which was rough because I was taking like 20 credits and trying to graduate early, which was a lot of stress that I didn't need. But, and then I went and I did the Girls with Glasses anthology. I edited that. And then I worked for this anthology. What happened was... it was right after the election, and everybody was on Facebook and getting in fights, of course, about politics, and family was like, you know, you're a terrible person, and, you know, you're not in my family anymore, like things like that, so dramatic. And everyone seemed to need a community or an outlet to grieve over what was happening, or what had been happening in our country for a long time, but something that has not been up in the surface for a lot of people. So... coming to that realization that we can write a collection, we can have a collection of all these thoughts, all the passion, and put our angst and our upsets into writing, and a collection became very important. And then we immediately decided it has to be something that goes to charity, that goes to places, organizations that are in jeopardy because of this presidency or the recent political climate. And it's always a project where you're like, it's not gonna be too hard. It's gonna be real easy. And then you start doing it and you're like, oh, now I remember it's terrible. This is going to kill me.
Yeah.
But it's worth it in the end, I think.
I even feel that a little bit with putting together Rune every spring.
I'm sure.
A bit of a hassle.
It's a lot of tedious work, editing and going over, and you always find more mistakes, and then there's always somebody who's like, well, I don't know if I want this poem over in it anymore, and then they back out, or somebody says, oh, I want to switch my poem, I got it published here, and you're like, oh my gosh, you submitted this poem, we're going to use it, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy usually. I have a co-editor, Nina Padoff, who edited the book with me, the anthology, and she was the good cop, I was the bad cop. I'd be like, this poem, no, we're not accepting it. And she's like, it's so nice. I'm like, no nice poems. It's nasty women and bad hombres.
Yeah.
We cannot have nice poems.
Yeah.
Could have good poems.
I like that hard edge. So what you've described for me falls in this kind of academic category for me of poetry engagé or engaged poetry. And some, like Ivory Tower academicians have a problem with that because they think, well, poetry is for the ages, you know, it's right. High art and should be like a Greek sculpture that we can look at, and that we should avoid writing or, you know, doing poetry that is just of the moment. Is this poetry just of the moment?
I don't think so. I think you mentioned Greek sculptures, and they even have history and politics behind them as well that we might not be aware of, but when we look at them and we look into the time period they're made or the artist, you realize that they might have been in some sort of turmoil or political uprising. So I think that it's important to, I mean, I guess I'm more open with what I'm doing, but I think that eventually, you know, this is a historic time where you have Trump as president, which is like, you know, I just feel like he's been in the news for so long and in, you know, the spotlight as this rich, dirty man, and now he's our president. So I think that it is a historic time, especially after having Obama as our president for, you know, 8 years, and then all of a sudden going from Obama to Trump, which is Obama with no scandals, no, like, dirt, really. except for all the made-up stuff where he's not from America, you know, he wasn't born here and all that, you know, birther stuff. But now we have this president who's complete scandal, almost essentially scandal. Essentially, all he is, and what makes him popular almost is like his controversial nature and his being kind of a jerk. His tweets, his what he says about women, Mexicans, anyone. He's just he's like the perfect villain almost, is what I would describe him as. I don't know if he's smart enough to be the perfect villain, but he is the perfect villain for me. So I think that it will be historical. I think that people will hopefully, you know, our country will heal from this and change will keep going, you know, happening, which it was, it seemed like. And then we just took like a huge step backwards, which I guess happens when change occurs. People get scared and they have to go backwards completely, almost.
I keep re-examining the history of the Roman Republic and wondering if we're coming to some kind of conclusion like that.
Right.
Let's get back to your poetry career. What poets do you read now? Who do you like?
Well, let's see. I've been reading a lot of local poets in my community. I run the Staghorn Poetry Series in Greenfield at Staghorn Garden Cafe. So I've been reading a lot of local poets because I always get their books after they read, which I like to support them too. But as far as I always liked Adrienne Rich. I always liked Sylvia Plath, Anne Sexton, which are all essentially feminist poets, actually, but I never really put that two and two together. And then I like more vivacious, vivid poetry, like Wanda Coleman and Sandra Cisneros.
I was thinking of Sexton and Plath, especially when you were talking about your depressed poets.
Yes, they were part of that anthology, of course.
No doubt. Oh, would you read us another poem?
Yes, thanks. So this is the title poem of my book, Mean Mama. It's kind of a prose poem, so it's a big block. Mean Mama. I wish I could say I was the kind of mama who didn't have to say sorry, who didn't have to wipe your sweet, sticky hands and dirt-creased neck, who didn't let you have mint chocolate chip ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, who wasn't yelling, don't, well, I don't know if I could swear, so I'll just say, don't, effing run around in the goddamn parking lot, who didn't lose you in every store, calling your name loudly over and over again, who made a big deal when you fell backwards on the big girl swing, who didn't let you watch Toy Story 2 three times in a row, who bathed you every night, who remembered to put aquifer on the rashes under your neck, who didn't leave you in the hot car while running into the pharmacy for 5 minutes in July, who didn't hold your tiny body down to cut your sharp fingernails, who made you brush your molars, who had more energy to chase you in the park, who didn't drink a bottle of wine a night while you slept quietly in your overheated bed, who greeted you with love and enthusiasm in the morning instead of grumpiness, whose solution to most things isn't more television or a snack, who wasn't this mean, mean mama, but I come from a long line of mean, mean mamas, and I am sorry.
That was Mean Mama being read by its writer, Dina November. If you've just tuned in, this is Literature Out Loud. I wish our listeners could have seen you while you were reading that last poem, because you had Ari, your newborn, up on your shoulder, and you were kind of patting his back in rhythm to the reading. Thanks for visiting with us today, Dina, and I would like to ask you to share one more poem with us.
This one's titled Death. It's a question that comes up a lot with kids. Death. As we turn off Hazelwood Avenue to Bigelow Street, she stares at the hilly cemetery in her tiny, high-pitched voice, and she tells me, "That's where all the dead people are. They're all stuck in the ground, dead and trapped, trying to get out." I explain the uncertain to her, but have no factual answers, no proof. But I don't want her to have nightmares. I tell her they aren't trapped. It is just their bodies buried there, their brain or soul, whatever sorry, whatever are in the clouds, trapped. It is just their bodies buried there, their brains or souls. Whatever are in, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, their brain, I'm reading it over again. Got a little distracted by my baby. Okay, I tell her they aren't trapped. It is just their bodies buried there, their brains or souls, whatever are in the clouds, watching, making sure we are all okay. She thinks, absorbing and staring out the window up into the clouds in disbelief. I tell her we will all die and that is okay. We are all born, live, and die. She asks if I will die and says, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die, Mama. I tell her I don't plan to for a while and we would go get ice cream. She orders strawberry and I get Nutella, but she eats mine instead and I eat her melted strawberry.
Nice. That was Dina November reading her poem Death from her new collection Mean Mama, published by Main Street Rag. The imagery of that poem reminded me of a visit I made a few years ago to Stowe Rocks High School. And as I was doing the workshop for the kids there, I looked out the window and there was a large cemetery visible on the hill behind. And I wondered what it was like for students to attend essentially in the shadow of a necropolis like that, City of the Dead. I think it could be a really rich, enriching kind of symbolism.
Yeah.
Before we go, would you tell us where we can go to find Mean Mama and Nasty Women and Bad Hombres?
Well, if you'd like to get Mean Mama by Dina November, me, you can find it on the Main Street Rag websites. I'll be putting it up on Amazon as soon as I get my books, which I've been waiting on. And then Nasty Women and Bad Hombres you can find on Amazon, but there is another anthology with similar titles, so make sure to get the one with the cool cover with artwork by Vanessa German, who is a local artist from Homewood, who runs the art house there and does amazing work. There's like a Black Madonna on the cover with intricate sort of collage and jewels. So definitely get that one. It's blue, red, yellow, really fun looking cover.
A spooky cover.
Yeah.
The Black Madonna has slogans running down the side saying, I will not suffer for you.
Yes. So there's a lot of symbolism in the cover as well, and we were really fortunate to have Vanessa German do that for us.
You've been listening to Literature Out Loud, sponsored by RUIN, the Robert Morris University Literary Journal, and by RMU Radio. Thanks again to my guest today, Dina November, to our engineer, Malik Johnson.
Happy birthday.
Yes, it's Malik's birthday. And thanks to you for listening.